the opening movement, the Toccata from Obad by Francis Poulenc, played by the National Orchestra of France, directed by Charles Dutoit, with pianist Pascal Roger, who is in studio with us this morning. And good morning, Pascal.
Bonjour, good morning.
And welcome to Spokane. This is not your first visit. We were trying to track down your previous visits, and you have actually been here fairly often in the big scale of things. And
yeah,
had a chance
yeah.
to play both the Opera House with the mm-hmm. symphony and the Fox Theater, and then your specific assignment tonight is playing the Saint-Saëns' fifth piano concerto with the Gonzaga Orchestra, mm-hmm. conducted by Kevin Heckbutt-Panna. And I'd like to start off by kind of identifying you in the big musical universe. You come by music naturally because you grew up in a family of musicians?
Yes.
Fair to say?
I was born in music, surrounded by a musician. My grandfather was a violinist, my mother a pianist, organist, and my grandmother was also a pianist.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard music, I think. I always say I heard music before I was born, because until the last, my mother was mainly an organist, and she played at her church almost until the day I was born. So
mm-hmm.
I think I learned a lot of music.
Yes, you learned in utero, and then from yeah. then on. What was your first experience with the piano as a player?
As far as I can remember, I hear piano. There were three pianos at home, and I don't have memories without piano. It's probably the first toy for me
mm-hmm,
to have
mm-hmm.
make sound and play with the piano. And my mother told me many times that she didn't really plan that I was going to be a pianist, but I was interested, and she was a piano teacher. So why don't you put the fingers on the right keys
mm-hmm.
and try to do something? And apparently I was interested, gifted, and I wanted to play more, so here I am.
That's a
short story, but it's exactly what happened.
How old were you when you gave the first recital?
According to today's standard, I was not so young, because mm-hmm. now, I mean, they give recital at the age of six. No, my first appearance on the stage, but only it was an audition from my teacher, I was nine. So it's pretty late. And first appearance with orchestra, I was 10. And then I didn't, apart from competitions or auditions, I didn't really perform until my first official recital, which was when I was 17. So, yeah.
What did you play in the first recital? Just for example.
Excuse me?
But did you play?
Ah, first recital. Oh, I remember very well. I started with there was already a little bit of French music, of course. Started with the Dutilleux Sonata, then Handel Variations, then Ravel Sonatine, then the Liszt Sonata.
Very good, yes.
Very heavy program. I don't
yes.
think I would do that again today.
It's amazing sometimes what we do and don't give it a second thought, then we look back on it and say, oh my, I actually did that?
Did I do that?
Why did I do that?
Yeah.
growing up in not only a musical family, but also in a French musical family, something that I've been tossing in my head, a little salad going on up there, is just the kind of the magic and the nature of French music. I know that I played entirely French music for the first hour this morning, and it kind of matches, for me, it matches the spirit of this day, very bright, very full of light.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
If asked, and so I'm asking, I guess, is how would you characterize the music of your native land? Because you are a specialist in it, and you grew up with it as a part of the air that you breathed.
Yeah, because it goes back very, very far, because my teachers were connected to great composers, because I was a student of Lisa Descaves, who herself was a student of Marguerite Long, who was the great interpreter of Ravel and Debussy.
There's a story that you took a very young age, I think you were like 8 or so, that you took the Ravel concerto to her, and she pointed out the mistakes, not your mistakes, but the mistakes in the score.
Yeah.
Which apparently contained
I was 9,
mistakes.
Actually.
Okay.
But she was, you know, 90-something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was scared to death.
Well, she was the goddess of French pianism.
Yes, she was very old. And, for me, she represented Ravel for Anne Debussy. Because she told me, as you said, about the Ravel concerto, but also about Debussy preludes, about many pieces. You know, little boy, here Debussy told me.
Right.
When you hear that, it's... You never forget that.
Yeah,
And everything she said to me, I still remember because it was not really a lesson. She was, I think one of the things I remember is that she used a lot of images. I always mention that little quote that she said when I played the Footstep in the Snow, one of the Debussy preludes. I started the two first bars, and she stopped me and said, "It's not cold enough."
Ah.
Okay. What do you do with that? I mean, I was 9 and I couldn't figure out what she was saying. But every time I play the prelude, I think of it. Because if she had told me, "It's too slow, or you should play more piano," I probably forgotten. But an image is so important. Mm-hmm. And I learned that French music, particularly Debussy, is linked with images, imagination, what you see through the notes, through the music, not what is written, but what is behind the notes. And I think that was a great lesson. And, of course, later on I discovered what she meant by that little phrase. But I think it's so important in French music that you always have, as you said, a connection with nature, with lights, with colors. Once I said to a conductor he didn't like it, but I think I was right. That there is not such a thing as profound French music. It doesn't mean it's superficial, but it's always, it's never dramatic. I think the clouds, if there are, they don't last.
Certainly, if you made a comparison with German music.
Yeah, it's totally opposite.
The whole concept of substance, of almost viscosity of the music that's so important, say in the music of Brahms.
Yeah, of course.
That's not what's going on in France at that time musically,
exactly.
Nor did that ever happen as far as I know.
There is no real structure. And if there is, it's very well hidden. And if you teach French music, it's very rare that you have to talk about structure or forms. It's more about sensitivity, inspiration, as I say, light, color, imagination. It's a world of freedom, and that's why I like it. Because, first of all, because it's my language, so I feel at ease. Sometimes I say, I know it sounds presumptuous, but I cannot go wrong with French music. Because you cannot go wrong with your own language. I mean,
yes.
You can master it. And even if you learn a foreign language, as good as you could be, there is always something that, I have to be careful. And if I play Schubert or Schumann or Beethoven, Mozart, I have to be careful. Because I might go wrong. If I leave my imagination totally open, I might lose the style, the structure, the form. I don't know. I have to, with French music, I just open my imagination and just let it go.
It's interesting because I don't know if your mother, in her particular church position, was called on to do much improvising.
Oh, yes.
Because is kind of the heart and soul of that particular tradition, of the French organ tradition.
Yes, of course.
And there's so much of the literature that was written that you can hear it coming from an improvisational place.
Exactly.
And it may have kind of an overarching structure, but as far as having this sonata form that it follows very closely and all that, that's just not one of the things that happens.
Yeah, it's a very good comparison. And I heard my mother improvising a lot every time. Every Sunday she was improvising. And I think that gave me a sense of freedom in the music. That's something that can happen just on the spot. And even if you have to be careful with the text and with the style, in French music is something that comes secondary, as opposed to, for me, to German music is first in the structure. But perhaps if I was born in Vienna or in Germany, I would have the same feeling of being, it's natural. I was born with it, and it's my structure, it's my language, perhaps. I suppose so, but I did play most of the usual repertoire during my career. And of course, we are able to play anything.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But it doesn't mean that if you play it, it means it's really yourself. And through the years, I really, not discovered because I knew it before, but I confirmed that French music is really my language. And at my stage of my career now, I can choose. I can decide, no, I won't play that concerto because I don't. I can play it, but I don't think it's worth playing. You cannot do that when you're a young pianist. You have to play everything, of course. But then I always tell my students, play everything as much as you can, but little by little try to find what is your language, what is yourself. Because you cannot be yourself in everything. It's impossible. Even the greatest pianist, you can always find a repertoire that, oh, yes, that's really their... So sometimes it's linked with their origin, sometimes with their personality, but everyone has... I mean, nobody is absolutely perfect in everything, and that's good.
I mean, you can certainly take that and apply it not only to pianists, not only to musicians, but any artist as well. There are certain styles and genres that you feel, It's like a very comfortable pair of shoes. I could walk several miles in this without a problem. That is the case with the Saint-Saëns Fifth Concerto?
Yes, of course. Saint-Saëns goes back also a long, long time in my life. And I discovered Saint-Saëns with the concertos, actually, when I recorded the complete concertos with Dutoit many, many years ago. I discovered that music really, and I enjoyed it so much because... at the conservatory, the two composers that were neglected and I never studied when I was a student there were Saint-Saëns and Poulenc. They were both discarded, I mean, not really considered as major composers. Those two, no.
That is, in a way, I understand that, and of course, it's just curious. I'm not sure about Poulenc, why he was neglected. Was it that he was such a character, musically and otherwise?
Perhaps there are many reasons. First, he was a very wealthy person, very bad for a composer. You have to starve to be a genius. Second, he was a kind of bon vivant, always happy and going out and eating and drinking and so also that's not really the image of a serious composer. And he wrote all kind of music, cabaret music, light music, religious music, so he cannot be categorized. So people are lost. Who is he? I mean, is it the Embarquement pour Cithère, or is it the Gloria, or is it who is he?
Right.
And even when he writes religious music, there is always a touch of
There's
humor.
There's the little bit of flavor of the nightclub that works its way in there. Saint-Saëns, though, I know that his reputation of a composer who was not eager to offend, he would not have pushed things in a Debussy sort of way.
He was a very academic composer, that's true. I mean, that concerto I'm playing tonight was written after The Rite of Spring. So that says a lot about...
The Rite of Spring changed everything, almost.
Except Saint-Saëns. I think he was there, and he was there at the premiere. So I wish I could have been sitting next to him and hear his comments. But okay. We have to admit that from the beginning of his composers until the end, it's almost the same music. But okay, that's the same with Poulenc. You know, they were aware of what was going on. I mean, Poulenc knew Boulez very well, but he never tried to write like Boulez because he knew that he was Poulenc. And he didn't want just to follow the latest fashion in music. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to be himself. And Saint-Saëns, same thing. So the personality of Saint-Saëns might be less sparkling than Poulenc, but he was himself. And he was a fantastic pianist, and he wrote maybe too much music. That was his problem. He said that composing for me was like being an apple tree, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And so everything maybe is not a masterpiece, but it's always well written, especially for the piano or any instrument. It's always witty, it's always melodic. It's always, I enjoy playing it, and especially this concerto number 5, because it's like a little tour du monde. Music. I mean, you hear Spanish music, Arabic music, you hear gamelan. There's a lot of influences. Egyptian, because it's called Egyptian.
Right.
But
right.
Altogether, it's like a little touristic adventure in music.
Well, he wrote it in Egypt.
Well, the legend says that he was on the Nile and he heard a song in the distance and he was so impressed that he wrote it on his... Sure.
That part I had not heard. That's very good.
Yeah, that's what my teacher told me. Mm-hmm. And maybe, one theme might be from Egypt. I say it's a melting pot of a lot of different influences. But it still sounds like Saint-Saëns.
Are there moments in this concerto that you're eager to get to in the playing? Or is any part of this piece, does it have a special place in your heart?
I love the piece. But there is one moment, the end of the second movement, is quite special. And every time I rehearse with an orchestra, there is a member of the orchestra who comes to me and says, "How do you do that? Because it sounds like gamelan." And it's both an effect of Saint-Saëns himself and what I do also with the pedal. So it makes it sing really like, how does he do that, such a sound on the piano? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I like that passage because it's funny to try and find a different sound. But there are beautiful moments, and the last movement is witty and there's a beautiful melody. No, it's a typical Saint-Saëns inspiration. I'm sure people will appreciate it because
it's wonderful. All of Saint-Saëns is just so, it is easy on the ear.
Oh, yes.
He does not throw great challenges at you and dare you to stay in your seat.
No, but it's melodies that you always remember. And he was so good at finding just a simple melody, but a melody that is perfect. I always think of the swan, in the Carnival of the Animals. It's one of the most moving melody ever written, and it's so simple.
A model of simplicity.
I think it takes some genius to create some, and it's not only the only one. There are many of those melodies that are just so, feels like, it's obvious. It's not complicated. It's not bizarre. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that will be on the program this evening with the Gonzaga University Symphony. They are going to also play music of Robert Schumann. But right there in the spotlight is our guest today, Pascal Roger, playing the 5th piano concerto, the quote-unquote Egyptian concerto of Camille Saint-Saëns.
I would like to also mention that I'm very, very happy to play with Kevin and with all the members of the Gonzaga Orchestra because they're so enthusiastic. They're so enjoying every moment. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something I'm very, very touched by that. We worked very hard with it. It's a difficult piece. I don't think they ever played it before. And it's really, I'm having a wonderful time here. So I just wanted to thank them for inviting me and to give me that opportunity to share music with them.
Very good. Well, it's delightful to have you back with us again. I hope this is still part of an ongoing relationship
that we have. It's come back.
And we'll try to get good weather for you like this each time you come.
Always
we'll
been perfect.
We'll do our best on that one. Pascal Roger, our guest this morning in studio.